We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is one of my absolute favorites. I love everybody that comes here because they've all played a part. You know, God has used everyone for the past 5 years that has come and sit at this table in that seat.
Yep.
God has used that to help me and change me and transform me into who he wants me to be. And it's an ongoing deal.
Yes.
It's not a boom, you're done.
You're done.
Well, I won't be done until I'm face to face with my Lord.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we haven't been able to get it posted lately, but we're working on that. So we appreciate your patience and your understanding. This is all above me. I'm depending on the Lord to help me get through it, I promise. And he's faithful. He won't forsake.
Very good.
If you would like to be on the blessing wheel for the book of March, for the
March
book, there we go. All you have to do is like, share, and comment done. Even if it's later, we will get a notification that you have commented done. The book for this month is Pray Big for Your Child by Will Davis Jr. And you don't have to limit those prayers to just your children. I think I covered it all. Oh, wait. Amazing. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located here in Elk City, Pastor Chasten Music. There. Now I've covered it all. Would you pray to start us out?
Let's pray to start this day. Father God, we love you so much in everything that you do. And God, I just come before you right now, and I ask that you begin to work in me, showing me the right words to say, God, giving me that right direction. Once again, God, I know what you've placed in my heart. I just pray that it comes out the way that you want it to. Lord, I pray that you open up the ears that people can hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to them as individuals. Lord, I pray that you open our minds that we can comprehend the complexity of your holy word. Father, I pray that you open our heart so that what we hear today, what we know today, what we see and learn today, it can stay within our heart. It'll retain within our lives, Lord, and we can share it with those that are around us. We love you, Lord. Stay with us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like your title.
You like the title today?
Yeah, release the baggage.
Release the baggage. Release the baggage. You know, I actually think, and I like saying this from time to time, I'd rather say it up front than have somebody come to me later. I preached this here, I think maybe about a year ago, and it's really on my heart again to describe this and to put this out there one more time. I'm going to talk about getting rid of the past. Yesterday is gone, so let's look at moving forward, moving on to the next place. I'm tired of saying, well, this has happened because of that. This happened because of this. And we're still stuck in this mode because of that or because of this. And we have a really good reason, and this is the part that I don't like. We have a really good reason because of 2020, the pandemic, COVID, blah, 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 blah. But it was real. It happened. It took place. It did cause a lot of shockwave to follow it, but it's not the only thing. There's a lot of other things out there that have caused difficult times in people's lives and difficult hardships. And they're walking around with this weight on their shoulder, feeling like it's their fault or feeling like it's their bad, or they have fallen so hard that they can't ever get back up. And they're just walking around in the state of failure. And this morning I had several titles for this message. I was actually going to call it it's time to live a lighter load, you know, it's time to lose the weight. But man, that would cause some people to turn it off right there. You know, I'm tried that forever, not doing it no more. Just no. So we're not talking about lose the weight. I even talked about I will live lighter. That was my whole motto. I will live lighter. I am getting rid of the heavy weights that's on my shoulder, and I will live lighter. But then the Lord just said, you know what, Kevin? The way to do it is not through a process of working. It's simply releasing. Release the baggage that's ahead of you. Here we go. Let's look at our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Two verses of Scripture. I just love this verse of Scripture, and by the way, to my Facebook friends, I was encouraged to go longer than an hour today, so y'all just hang on. Because I can do that off these two verses. But anyway, listen to this. This is Paul writing to a Hebrew church, and he's telling them, you guys have the promise of God already. You've got great things in store for you already, but it's time to get rid of some of the things that are hindering you, some of the things that are holding you back. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, and you always kind of want to look at that 1/4, you know, you'll want to say, man, what was chapter 11 about? A lot of faith, all about faith, faith heroes, faith individuals, how to walk in faith, how to do faith, how to be in faith. It's all about faith. Now, faith is substance things hold for, evidence things not seen, all about faith. And once you get that faith in your life, now that you got that faith, why is faith important? Therefore, you got to understand this. We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the cloud of witnesses of those that have faith, the other ones that are living by faith and acting by faith and moving by faith. Listen, let us then lay aside every weight. Wow. When we witness the faith of somebody else, when we witness the demonstration of someone else, let us then lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There is so much in these two verses of Scripture that I could just really talk about. I could talk about the weight that hits us. I could talk about the great cloud of witnesses that surround us. I could talk about the sin that so easily ensnares us. Nobody's exempt from that. I don't care who you are, whether you're pastor, priest, or whatever, whether you're just a pew sitter, or whether you're a church attender, it doesn't matter, or whether you're the guy in the background that says, I don't care about nothing. Sin so easily ensnares. It grabs us. I don't like to give the devil compliments in any way whatsoever, but I assure you, he knows what he's doing, and he will cause you to fall whether you like it or not. So I could spend a long time on that, but I regress. I love the part about running with endurance the race that is set before us, this race of faith, to stay in with this. We're in the middle of this. But verse number 2, where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, I would strongly encourage you to go and check out the Hebrew culture about running races with an author and a finisher. They would always choose a pattern. Sometimes 3 times a year, they would choose a path, and they would get all the runners of the area together, all these young men together, and they would set them up to run this race. And it was just a great big celebration time. It was a feast. It was just a lot of fun. But they would choose one individual to be the author and the finisher of that race. The author of that race would pick or line out the track that they would run. He would give the resting places, the watering places. He would give the challenges uphill. He would give the breath, the run downhill. I mean, he was the author. He planned the track of everything. But then to top it off, he was also the finisher of the race. This one particular individual got the privilege of standing at the finish line and welcoming every runner that came through and congratulating every runner that came through. He was the one that awarded every prize to everyone that finished the race. He was the author and the finisher. when Paul's talking about this, he's saying Jesus is the author and the finisher of our race of life here on this earth, that we have to take it by faith. Now think about this. Jesus has already got your pattern lined out. He knows where you're going. He knows what you're going through. And he is looking forward to the day that you finish this race. The problem is, just like in these times, so often we round a corner and we get extra weight put on us. We take another little dip and we get extra weight put on us. We climb another hill and we get extra weight put on us. And it gets so heavy that we can't finish the race. We can't finish the race. And we could go to the author of the race and say, can I remove some of this weight? Can I get some of this off? And he would give us permission to say, you've passed this point, release the weight. You've passed this point, release the weight. And if we could release that weight, then we are sure to finish the race. And that's what the author's main goal was, to get every runner in the race across the line. Can I tell you, that's what Jesus' goal is today. His whole goal is to get you to cross that line, to get you past that point. And he's here today to give you permission. Release the weight. Release the weight. Now, the sins that so easily ensnares you, sometimes you get in those traps, and it takes the author of the race to come by and respring that trap and get you up and get you out and get you going again. But you're usually injured. You got a wound. You got a hurt. But even at that point, the author of the race is saying, release that. Let that go. Let's bandage you up. Let's tend to your wounds. Let's get you moving. Jesus comes along. He heals us from our wounds. He heals the unforgiveness. He heals the bitterness. He heals the jealousy. He heals that so that you can pick up and keep on moving again. Like I said, there's so much in these two verses of Scripture. But the one that I'm really looking at today is this one part that says, as we run this race that is set before us, let me keep going, all right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. All of this talks about moving forward. Keep going. Jesus didn't stop. I don't want you to stop. The pressures of life in this world are incredible right now. And it doesn't matter. You know, I actually have been witnessing this in like the fifth grade level. These fifth grade students, boy or girl, it doesn't matter. They are so overwhelmed with the requirements in their life. And it's not just about school. They're joining the high competitive sports teams. They are playing baseball in this fifth grade level that is really stringent on their requirements of what they've got to do. Okay, we take that. We accept that. We're growing them. We're teaching them requirements. I get that. Understand that. But it creates a pressure in their life. And then once they get out of school, just think about on up into high school, the pressures that are put on them. They go into college and the pressure that's put on them. And then I can just feel somebody looking at me right now going, yeah, right, they don't know anything. Granted, because you've already made it to the job life, and that job life is pressure beyond imagination. It's called life, and there's so much pressure in it. And there's pressure on it because we've picked up weight, been ensnared by sin, And the problem is we're trying to carry all of that, and it adds pressure on us and pressures us down. We got to find a way to release it. Another thing is the stress of life. Now, the stress of life are those things that continually pull you in different directions. You have a responsibility that you got to take care of ABC, but you have a desire to go play with CDE and E. How'd y'all like that little reference as it goes? You know, you've got that, but we're being pulled in every direction. I really want to watch this primetime show. I don't know why, but you really want to watch this primetime show. I want to watch this Netflix. I want to, what is that word that they call right now? Where do they just watch one TV station? Binge. They have to binge. I want to binge on this particular show because I got to get to the end of it. And you don't think that that's hurting you at all, but what that's doing, that's stressing your life. When you're being pulled in so many different directions because you got to make the peanut butter and jelly sandwich for the kids' lunch, you got to take care of the husband's supper. You got to meet the wife's demands. You got to go run these errands. You got to take care of this. And then your mother's calling. And then your dad wants this. And then you got to do this. You got to do that. And then you got a responsibility to the job. And you just feel like you're being pulled in 100 different directions. Creates stress. That's what it does. And when that stress overwhelms you and that stress starts coming on you, it wants to stay. It's stress is like Velcro. There is a way to get it off, but when it's stuck to you, it's stuck pretty good. And what you've got to do is what we need is for the author of the race, the finisher of the race. What we need is Jesus to come and to release all of that from us. There's also the calluses of life, and this is builds up, and it happens so often to people. And I don't want to take a lot of time on this. I'm going to make one quick statement, and I hope that you catch it. This is the calloused life. It's when somebody is a real good person, but they get so pressured and so stressed that they don't care about anybody or anything else again. They're calloused with emotion. And the worst one, it hurts when I see somebody so callous that they don't care about somebody else that gets hurt. I get that. And they don't care about somebody that's struggling. And they don't care about what other people are going through. And they're so calloused that they will even say the words, well, it serves them right. They get so calloused that it just, and all of this is because you are resisting helping because you're being pulled from all other directions. You're resisting the requirements, the priorities of your life, and you're choosing different routes because you've got so many requirements in your life. You just become calloused. I don't care. I got to go. I got to be there in 3 minutes. I'm sorry you're hurting. I got to move. I got something else I got to do. I got to go. The worst one of all is when we become so calloused that we don't care about somebody's soul. They're lost. They're missing out on Jesus. They're missing out on church. They're missing out on godliness. They're missing out on holiness. They're missing out on the joy, the peace, the righteousness of God. And they're missing out on all of that. And you don't care? Man, that is the weight of callousness. And you may think that it's not really affecting you. You don't feel all of that. It's not there. I assure you, you're being calloused and you're feeling it whether you know it or not. It is a weight upon your shoulders that just continually weigh you down. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, then ask somebody that's close to you. Because the person that's closest to you can say, yeah, you've been a little edgy lately. Yeah, you've been a little tense lately. Yeah. That's the way it happens. It's the reality of it. It's what goes on with us. Well, now listen, here's the statement I have been saying for 15 years, and it is still accurate, true. Well, more than that, I've been saying this for 25 years. Wow, how time is flying. Listen to it close. Write it down. You can get this. We can't change yesterday, but we can affect tomorrow if we do what's right today. We can't change yesterday. It's gone. It's over. You can affect what's the recoil of yesterday by doing what's right today. You can affect that. You can line up tomorrow's conflict and challenges. They don't have to be calamity. They're going to be conflicts and they're going to be challenges, but they don't have to be a calamity. You can adjust that today by doing what's right. We can't change yesterday, but we can affect tomorrow if we do what's right today. If we're going to do what's right today, then the best thing for us to realize and to understand, this is the best time ever. There is no better time to release the baggage of yesterday and go forward with the dreams of tomorrow by having a passion for today. Listen, everybody has a past. Everybody that's alive today has a yesterday. Every one of us, no matter how old we are, whether you're 95, 105, okay, just go down the age limit, 85, 75, 65. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're 5 years old, you have a yesterday. Those precious little infants that are being born right now at this moment, I got it. Throw that at me if you want to. But it won't be very long. They'll have a yesterday. You know, we all have a yesterday. We all have that past. But let me share with you this scripture that just rings out in clarity. I want you to hold on to this. Think, we all have a yesterday, although Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. This is Paul looking at the Philippian church, and he's saying, I get it. We got a yesterday, but we need to focus on tomorrow. This is what he says, chapter 3, verse 13, book of Philippians. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what is ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. This one thing that I've got to do, this one process that I've got to do, I must forget about yesterday, look forward to tomorrow, and do what's right today. That's what I've got to do, because this one we call Jesus, he has the answers. We've got to press into him. We've got to get to that finish line and reach to where Jesus is. Let me give you another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. We're talking about we can't change yesterday. We can't affect tomorrow by doing what's right today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation because I really like how it's worded. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. How amazing is that? I love that statement. Just getting that thought in our head. This is really telling us that you who belong to Christ Jesus are a brand new creation. You've got a new person inside of you. You've got new thoughts, new hopes. Pastor, that's not helping me release all my baggage from yesterday. Then become a new creation today. Become a new person today. Release that baggage of yesterday and set your sights on tomorrow, doing something better for God. I'm really struggling on my job. I don't like my job. I hate my job. There's nothing good about my job. That's because you're working your job for yourself and not working your job for Jesus. If you work for the Lord, you'll love your job. Doesn't matter what it is. Because you're doing it as unto him. Do all that you do as unto the Lord. Let's release this baggage, okay? I got three major topics that I'm going to talk about. And the first one, I may be here for a long time. May not even finish today. I'm going to finish. The first one is this, all right? We're going to release the baggage. We're going to get free from the blame game of the past. It's the blaming thing that holds us down. And if you are falling into this to where you have a tendency to say it's their fault, it's his fault, it's her fault, it's this fault. If you want to blame this, it's that stupid car I drive, it's this. You want to always blame something? Get over it. I know that's plain. I know that hurts. Get over it. Stop it. The blame game is not a godly game. It's not good for you. This is a deception of the devil that he's just come in. And I'm going to get really straight up with you here for just a minute. It is amazing to me how many people blame their status quo on the way their parents raised them. Psychologists for years have made tons of money by saying, "What'd your mother do? How do you feel about your daddy? How do you feel about your mama?" And all they're doing is saying, quit blaming. Quit blaming. Everyone plays this bad parent game. My parents made me do this. My parents made me do that. My parents made me go to church all my life, and that's how come I don't go to church now. You're falling apart. You need to go to church. You're falling apart. You need people of like precious faith. You're falling apart. You need the whole chapter 11 of Hebrews so that you can have Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, so you can finish the race, so that you can dump the weight, so that you can get broken from the ensnares of sin. You need the church, whether people like it or not. You need the church. Find one you like. I know there's been all this hype about church hoppers. They go here for a little while, then there for a little while. Hopefully, they'll find one where they can set in one day and feel comfortable and belong. I'm a pastor of a church. I would love to create a church where everybody feels welcome. Not everybody feels welcome. It's just the way that it is. We're all different in different places. Stop blaming your parents for dragging you to church is the reason why you don't go to church. They got a little sidetracked there. Stop blaming your parents about, I don't like green beans because I ate green beans for every meal when I was a kid. Green beans are still good, whether you like it or not, you know. Get over it. Stop blaming somebody else for things that you're going through. Stop blaming your friends. They made me go here. They made me do this. They made me eat this. Don't blame your parents. Parents are not perfect. Parenting takes a skill. Now, let me just switch this page just a little bit and speak to the parents for just a minute, okay? Your kids will blame you when they get older. It doesn't wait till they get older. They're going to blame you right now. They start blaming you now. When they go to school and some their friends say, what are you wearing? They all say, my mom made me wear it. They blame you. You're being blamed right now. So either take advantage of that, or come on, parents, smile with me just a little bit. Would you come on? You know, don't take advantage of it. Come on, start training your child now. Train up your child in the way they shall go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Those children are your responsibility. Guard them, protect them, feed them, clothe them, help them go through this process of life. It's amazing what sixth graders are being taught by their friends, because their friends have access to everything on the internet. And things when I was in the sixth grade that were taboo are now games that they play. Please be careful. Teach your kids. Open the conversation. Know it. Because if you don't, they're going to blame you when they get a little bit older and say, my mom never told me about that. My dad never talked to me about that. Even on the Christian side, come on, Christians, we need to gear up and realize that if you're not teaching your child, the devil is. So you better wake up. Don't get blamed for this. Be the parent that says, this is going to be a good skill. I'm going to take charge of it. Let's get out of that blame game. Break it off, block it off, get out of that snare now, and watch the author of the race be able to take us and run us forward. I'm going to speak to another group right now. I love you dearly, but hang on with me. I'm so tired of hearing about the blames of the exes. My ex-husband caused this. My ex-wife caused that. My ex-boyfriend did this. My ex-girlfriend said that. Blah, blah, blah. You want to blame it on the exes? Listen, you've got a mind of your own. It is time for you to stand up and know what's right and what's wrong. If you're weighed down by yesterday's accusations because of an ex that did this or did that, I know it hurts. Please don't think that I don't have sympathy for you. Even Jesus said that he hates divorce. Let me tell you why he hates divorce. He hates it because of the ripple that it causes for years to come. It's not that he hates it because it's like a sinful thing and you'll never be forgiven of. He hates it because of the ripple that it causes. I get it. Ex-spouses are very difficult to deal with, but stop blaming them. Get back into that forgiveness. Get back into that I understand thing. Let's get over the hurt. Let's get beyond the hurt. I have heard, had someone sitting in my office recently that said, I will never love again. All you're doing is building up those calluses. You're building up that callus so that how can you say that you will never love anybody again, but yet everything on your Christian foundation is based on the fact that God is love and everything about him is love. And don't look at me and say, well, I'm not talking about that kind of love. No, if you got blame in your heart, you are searing over that love factor in your life and you're causing a scar that will always be touchy and sensitive to everything that comes to you, and you'll always be blaming yesterday and never able to move forward to tomorrow. Listen, if your relationship dissolved and broke apart, Jesus loves you greatly. And if you will stop blaming yesterday, stop blaming yourself, stop blaming your ex, stop blaming everything of the yesterday, Jesus has something set up for you in the future. Okay? Now, I got one more that I want to talk about real quick right here in the blame game. And these are special to me. And I know they're out there and I know they're real. And I'm going to say this as tender and as loving as I can. We've got to stop blaming those that have abused us. Stop blaming that abusive situation and blaming it, saying, I can't move forward because I was abused previously. I know it's sensitive. I know it hurts. I get that. But there's help for you. If you'll cry out for help, there's people that'll help you. There are areas that'll help you. There's trainers that'll help you. There are good, solid Christian men and women of God that are faithful men and women of God that truly want to help you. There are counselors that are God-based, faith-based counselors that want to help you. I realize that there's physical abuse. Let me tell you, I'm just saying it. If you're being beat up, tell somebody. Tell somebody. Young or old alike, male, female alike. If you're being physically abused, tell somebody. If you're being verbally abused, talk to somebody about it. Not everybody has that verbal vocabulary in the back of their mind. They want to help you. They want to bless you. There are those emotionally abused people. I tell you, this is sensitive to me. I know you're out there, but you've got to stop blaming those events. You got to stop blaming the abusers. You got to stop blaming that circumstance. Stop blaming that situation. And the one, the highlighted one that's above it all, that's so prevalent around this nation today, it's around the world today, those are the sexual abused ones. Those are devastating. They have long-lasting scars, long-lasting repercussions. I get that. I understand that. I'm not saying snap your fingers and it's going to all go away. This isn't a magic trick. But you got to stop blaming. You got to stop blaming. And the number one person is stop blaming yourself. Stop putting yourself in that position to where you say, it's all my fault. I caused this. I did this. No. Very clearly, from pastor to people, stop blaming. Get out of that blame game. Blame is the heaviest weight of baggage that you will ever carry. Now listen to me. I'm not saying abuse is. I'm saying blame is. When you blame stuff, it's the heaviest weighted package that you will ever carry. Get that baggage off of your shoulder. Release that baggage today. Stop blaming today. Let's move forward and see what God has for us next, okay? Just get that in your mindset. So as long as you continue to live in the blame, you allow someone else to control your life. As long as you live underneath the blame cloud, someone else is always ruling your life. It is time to get out from underneath the heavy baggage of blame and get in with Jesus and let Jesus help you get back in control of running your race. Did that make sense? That's Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Let's run this race with endurance. You got to move. You got to do it. You got to go. All right? Stay tuned for part 2 and 3. It's going to get good.